Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. Behavioral bias. Listen, we have so many biases that we are completely unaware of. And in our culture today, we do talk about bias more and more, unconscious bias, those sorts of things. But those biases can really affect our decision-making when it comes to our money. GetSmarterAboutMoney.ca is a platform or a website from the Ontario Securities Commission, and it has something called a behavioral bias checker to help you become more aware of some of your biases. Tyler Fleming is the director of the investor office at the OSC, and he joins us now to talk about how this tool works. Hello there, Tyler.
Hi, Bruce. Nice to be here.
Behavioral bias, just so we're all on the same page here, what does that phrase mean?
Sure. So behavioral science, more broadly, it's the study of human behavior, and it examines all the conscious and subconscious drivers of people's behavior. Subconscious drivers can be extremely powerful, and one category of these subconscious drivers is known as behavioral biases. These can be extremely influential in driving our behavior across a range of contexts. So behavioral biases are essentially flaws or blind spots in our thinking that can influence our behavior without us even realizing it. They're sometimes called irrational beliefs, and they can mislead or misdirect our decision-making in significant ways. There's actually hundreds of behavioral biases that can impact our behavior, including around our finances.
Well, let's talk about some of those connections. We're going to get into the bias checker in a second, but can you give us some examples of the biases that you're going to teach us more about?
Sure. So in the checker, we have a number of the biases, but there are hundreds. Essentially, we do this because the biases can cost us a lot of money. Financial decisions are really susceptible to our biases because these decisions tend to be complex and have lots of information involved, involve trade-offs and can trigger emotions. So within the tool, we go through several biases, including some common ones. One of the most common and powerful ones is called loss aversion. This is a very powerful bias. It's essentially that the pain of losing money in an investment context, financial context, is much more powerful than the feeling of gaining, but it applies in any number of contexts. So if you talk to athletes, the pain of losing a game tends to be more painful than when they win. Mm-hmm. Some other biases that we go through are one of them is present bias. So this is our tendency to prefer short-term rewards over long-term rewards. So people might not plan for retirement if they can splurge on something today. And then one other bias I'll mention is we've seen a lot of this recently. It's called herding. And this is our innate desire to align with others. Behavior, other people around us. So following the herd, jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah,
we saw a lot of this during the pandemic.
Well, one of the other ones you highlight, which is really relevant in the real estate market right now, is anchoring, because a lot of people, especially those under the age of 30, really anchored to the, I'm using air quotes here, the right and appropriate level of interest rates. Like, you know, what they have seen and known in the last 5 or 10 years was what rates should be. And so they have been perhaps more shocked than people who are 50 or older or 60 or older, who remember viscerally that interest rates can and do rise to the double digits and can sit there for a long period of time. So many examples. All that to say, you decided to develop this tool. How does the tool work? How's the bias checker work?
Yeah, so it's a tool on our website, Get Smarter About Money. First, it's a bit of a multi-step process and it's personalized to the user. So first, it goes through several of the biases that I've mentioned and more. It helps people understand what the concept is and define it. What it then does is offer the users some multiple choice questions to make sure people are understanding the concept. So you mix and match 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 with certain concepts. And then what it does is presents several scenarios where you pick what you would do in the situation. There's not necessarily a right or wrong answer. And then what the tool does is illustrate what biases might be at play and also ways to manage those biases, some tactics that people can employ to reduce their impact.
What are some of the examples of tactics? I mean, I'm sure there's huge benefit to just being aware that biases exist and then personalizing it to your own particular circumstances. But that third piece, the like, how do I deal with that? What are some ideas on that front?
Yeah. So for loss aversion, which is the first point I mentioned, you know, we always talk about diversification in investing contexts. That is one way to, you know, manage your risk that you're going to be prone to making decisions purely on losses or gains in a single or a few select securities. Also important to compare your potential losses and gains to reframe your decision making and just make sure you're considering all the alternatives rather than reacting to one particular loss. There's other biases like overconfidence we didn't talk about, but, you know, always get a second or third opinion, try to not become entrenched in your own thinking, be open to different perspectives. And then anchoring, which you mentioned in a real estate context, again, consider alternative choices, get different opinions. One of the things you mentioned was interest rates, and you're right. There's a whole generation of people who in their adult lives haven't experienced interest rates where they are, and they seem sky high right now, but historically they're not. Another way anchoring comes into play though, is people, the high point, if you're a homeowner, the high point of your house is worth, you think it couldn't possibly be worth anything less, and you're not willing to budge when you need to sell it, where everyone sees the market's declined by X amount, and there could be a mismatch between the seller and the buyer's expectations. So again, the people anchor to, you know, the high point or what their neighbor's house sold for, and not necessarily what it's worth today.
Where does this work on behavioral bias fit within the mandate of the Ontario Securities Commission? Because a lot of people would think, I don't know, you're like chasing after insider traders and that's all that you do. Of course, I've been around. I know that you do a lot more than that.
No, it's a great question. And so one of the OSC's core mandates is investor protection. The use of behavioral science in securities regulation is relatively new. The last 10, 15 years is where it's gotten some momentum. And so one of the ways we can help protect investors according to our mandate is helping them understand their biases and what drives their behavior. People are not always rational actors. There used to be the thinking that presented with all the information that's available, people will make rational, smart decisions. But as we know, biases, emotions, past experiences can all influence our decision making. And so as part of the OSC's investor protection mandate, we have a desire to both educate and inform investors, but also bring in behavioral science into our regulation and policy making to shape the policies.
You make a compelling case, and I think most people would admit that they have some of these behavioral biases, but I'm curious as to what insight the psychologists and the economists would offer in terms of why we have some, perhaps, and not others, or some that are more pronounced than others. What's at the source of it?
It's an interesting question. I mean, there are hundreds of biases that can be more prominent given the context. So there's no one answer, Bruce, but I think there's definitely an appreciation, a much greater appreciation now of this is an important thing for us to consider in our financial and other decision-making. When we are applying behavioral science, it's only one tool. You know, it's not the only magic bullet that there is, but in the proper context, it can be very powerful in our work.
There is certainly the role of the individual here in identifying a bias and mitigating the potential negative consequences of that. What role do you think the financial services industry has in helping save us from ourselves?
Yeah, great question. There's all sorts of ways that the financial industry and advisors can apply behavioral science, everything from the choice architecture, so how forms and decision documents are presented, how disclosure documents are developed, right, bringing forward the information that's most likely to be effective rather than downloading pages and pages of legalese. Also just in the conversations the industry has with individuals, recognizing that the individual has biases, so do the advisors, so do the individuals, and presenting information in the proper context with that knowledge. So there's lots of ways to do this.
Really interesting stuff. The website is getsmarteraboutmoney.ca. The particular tool is called the Behavioral Bias Checker. And our guest was Tyler Fleming. Thank you so much for joining us today, Tyler.
Thanks, Bruce.
Tyler Fleming, the Director of the Investor Office at the Ontario Securities Commission.